Okay, let's turn it over to our brother Jeff today.
Hello, this is Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Ministries. We've been looking at the life of Joseph. If you will, open your Bible to Genesis 42 if you have one. If you don't, we'll be reading, so hopefully you can follow along with us. We thank the Lord for every chance to be with you. And we do invite you to write us or to call us, to get in touch with us, and let us know maybe some subjects you would like looked into, maybe some prayer requests or needs that you would have. We do appreciate all the response. We appreciate everybody that said something to us and gave us a word of encouragement. We do. That does make a difference, believe it or not. And I'll tell you one thing, probably the most important of all. No, the most important of all is that you pray for us. Please pray. So we do thank you for your prayers. Let's begin with a word of prayer as we start our lesson. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word. Pray that you might help us to understand it, to comprehend what you're saying through your servant Joseph and through your word to us. Lord, we pray that you'd give us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and that we may know you, O God, truly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Joseph's brothers have came to him in the land of Canaan, and he has told them they're spies. They're spies. Of course, they said, we're true men, and as I mentioned last time, that would tend to upset me if I were in Joseph's shoes, but Joseph's putting them to the test. And he sets them up, so the only way they can come back is with their younger brother. And he says in verse 16, send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. And he put them all together in ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go you, carry corn for the famine to your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. So now they take, and they said, we're true men, and he says, if you're really true men, you leave one of your brethren here in the prison, you carry this corn back home with you, and bring your youngest brother with me when you come back, and then I'll believe you. So they leave with all the corn, and they leave one behind, one of the brothers. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brethren that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us that we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against this child, against the child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Now Joseph listens in on the conversation of the brothers. Remember, here the brothers are at being put to the test. You have to bring your youngest brother back, and to prove that you will, I'm going to keep one of the brothers. So they agree to this. And see, Joseph put them to the test of their true love here. And what do they say whenever this happens? They said to one another, we're guilty about our brother Joseph when we saw the anguish of his soul when he was in the pit. And he begged us that we wouldn't hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. So while Joseph was down in that pit when his brothers threw him there so many years ago, crying out for help, crying out for mercy, they weren't listening. The brothers sat there and listened to this man. Is it any wonder that Joseph wants to put them to the test over their brother Benjamin? Is it any wonder that he wants to see how their hearts have changed since he knew them? Because Joseph has a heart of love for his brothers, and he wants to bring them about around to the right side. bring them around to what they should be. And Reuben now shows that he had taken up for Joseph at this time, and they wouldn't listen. And he said, now his blood's required. And Joseph had been speaking to them by an interpreter so that they wouldn't understand or know that he understood Hebrew. So he turns himself away from them and cries because he understood what they were saying. And it struck a chord in his heart. And now he returns to them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. I was reading the story of a man named Zvi. He was a Jew during the occupation of, I believe it was Poland, a Polish Jew. Now, the Germans didn't think much of these people at all. And he was a well-educated young man because he understood Polish and, I guess, somewhat of the German language and Hebrew also. Well, excuse me, Polish and the German language. He went to stay in the house of a German posing as a Polish person, not a Jew, but as a Polish person. And he had heard the man say that he was going to kill him in the German language, and Zvi, understanding the German language, hadn't never let him know that he did. He had acted like he only understood Polish. Well, that shows, as an example, he got away because of that. Shows an example how that the wisdom of these men worked. You see, Joseph, he knew Hebrew, but he wasn't going to let it out that he knew it. And he had also learned the language of the Egyptian. Here Joseph is a well-educated man, now that he's moved up into the world. He probably learned the Egyptian language in prison. Now, Joseph commanded them to fill their sacks with corn and restore every man's money to his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack and gave his ass provender at the end, he saw his money, and behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said to his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it's even in my sack. And their hearts failed, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God has done unto us? As if things weren't bad enough, the brothers think. Now we get here and we open our grain bags and the money's in them. We're dead for sure now. As if things weren't bad enough, we've lost Simeon. We got away with our lives and now we've found the money in our sacks. And here Joseph is again. I can see him in the background putting his brothers to the test. What are they going to do with this money? Are they going to keep it? Are they going to betray Simeon? Are they going to leave him there to rot in prison? Have they really changed? Well, it says now in verse 29 that they came to Jacob, their father, to the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell to them, saying, the man who is the Lord of the land spoke roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father, one is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that you are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me. Take food for the famine of your households and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that you are no spies, but that you are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and you shall traffic in the land, or do business in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. Here, only one or two of them, one of them had noticed the money in his sack, but now they all poured the sacks out, the grain out, to divide it up amongst the people, and they all find that their silver's still there. And they're, of course, they're troubled and they're afraid. Here now they have robbed from the richest kingdom in the world, the most powerful kingdom of its time, their money. Their own money, stole it back. What are they to think? What are they to think that the Egyptians are going to be thinking of them? Remember, they don't know who Joseph is. As far as they know, they think that they've went off and stole money from them and took the grain and figured they were just thieves. Well, of course they're worried about it. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And you will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which you go, then shall you bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. He said, I've lost Joseph, I've lost Simeon, and you're not getting Benjamin. Reuben says, if I don't bring him back, kill my two sons. I'll be responsible. Reuben now shows that they are intending to go right back to Egypt, just like Joseph said. But Jacob says, no, you're not taking my son away from me. I've already lost one. I'm not going to lose another. Well, our time's up. This has been Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads of Two Destinies Ministry saying goodbye.
If you have any comments or questions or any concerns, please feel free to call us this week at 879-5695. We really appreciate any contact we have with fellow believers or anyone that's seeking to know about the Lord. This is the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry for Jeff Buckles. Mark BB, this is Mike Moody.